Chapter 16. Terra, the Imperial Palace. The moment the door swished open, Venant knew something was wrong. For a start, an amber light glowed dimly on the entry access panel on the wall to her left. Somebody with inquisitorial clearance had entered her official chambers, other than herself or Rendenstein. In itself, this was no cause for undue alarm, but it was unusual for anybody to come here when Venant was not present. The second factor that made Venant stop just inside the door was the silence. Rendenstein was supposed to be here, and that always meant the faint buzz of a digi-reader or the clatter of a terminal keypad, even just the soft tread of Rendenstein as she made her random security checks. There was nothing. The buzzing of the air circulation units had fallen silent. It was part of the defense features of the chambers that all electrical systems would cut out if an energy spike was detected. In this case, it was probably a las weapon discharge, although it could be something as simple as a power cylinder from a plasma weapon, or even the field source for a power sword or other energy weapon. Even the crack of a bullet was enough to set off the delicate sonic detectors secreted throughout the offices. Also, just beneath the keypad of the door security system was the faintest red smudge of a fingerprint. Venant had instantly recognized it as blood. There was no trace on the keypad itself, wiped clean by the interloper, no doubt, but instinct told her that the blood belonged to Rendenstein. Lastly, the real clincher was the door ahead of her at the end of the entryway. It was ajar, kept open by a heavy-soled boot. There was more blood on the tread. It certainly wasn't the sort of footwear Rendenstein would have been wearing. Paused with the door still open behind her, one hand half stretched towards the security pad, Venant considered her options. She had been summoned here by Veritas. The conclave was due to begin in an hour in the Octagon. Obviously, someone had decided to preempt the proceedings or otherwise interfere. In Venant's estimation, that person was most likely Veritas himself. Maybe Najurita had been more reluctant to participate than the old Inquisitor had originally hoped, or perhaps Veritas simply preferred to settle matters the way they had been settled in the old days. Another option was that she had been betrayed by Vangarich, perhaps in trade for the support of Veritas. She dismissed the possibility. If Vangarich really wanted Venant dead, she wouldn't be alive to think about it. The Officio Assassinorum did not give second chances, not here on Terra, where everything was to their advantage. It was not safe to stay here. Venant turned around and strode back into the corridor, left hand towards the sensor pad by the door, her seal ring pulse transmitting a signal to close the portal. She whispered a three-part code to initiate full lockdown, and then turned right, heading towards the monorail terminal a few hundred feet further into the Imperial Palace. The station was empty, as Venant expected. The mono shuttle was for inquisitorial personnel only, and Vangarich, apparently, Venant remembered with irritation, and was the only way to access the inner chambers of the inquisitorial enclave. One shuttle was at the platform on the westbound track leading to the main part of the palace via the Adeptus Ministorum Senatorum chapels. The eastbound track, which would take her to the main transport hub of the Eternity Terminus, was devoid of carriages. There were only two ways to read this discovery. The first was to assume that whoever had breached the inner chambers had then exited towards the transport hub. The second, more paranoid and likely version of events, was that someone had anticipated Venant's attempt to flee and was manoeuvring her towards the Ministorum enclave for a particular reason. It also made sense that she was cut off from the transport hub. From there, she could requisition an ornithopter to take her directly to the main inquisitorial fortress under the South Polar ice cap. Her allies were there, as were six companies of inquisitorial stormtroopers and no doubt a few other mercenary types currently in the employ of one inquisitor or another who would be more than willing to engage in hostilities. She suddenly realized how isolated she was here and remembered the words of Veritas. He had said that she had become too close to the Senatorum, and perhaps he meant geographically as well as metaphorically. By holding her offices here, in the Senatorum palaces rather than at the Polar Bastion, she was cut off from the Inquisition. Thinking she heard a distant footfall behind her echoing down the passage, Venand darted a look down the colonnaded corridor towards her chambers. She saw nothing, but was now convinced that someone was there, perhaps out of sight, perhaps cloaked somewhere. Her enemies, it had to be Veritas, had access to all kinds of archaeotech if needed. She jumped into the open-topped mono-shuttle, closed the gate behind her, and sat down on one of the benches. The shuttle was about 5 yards long, barge-like in shape, with four benches running its width like the thwarts of a rowing boat. Though it had a metal infrastructure, the exterior of the shuttle was covered in ornately carved wood and panelling lacquered a deep red with polished brass fittings. Rows of terminal panels were fitted in front of each bench. Detecting her presence, the carriage's machine spirit sprang into life, illuminating a map display on a board in front of Venand. She tapped in her cipher key and then selected the Cathedral of the Saviour Emperor as her destination. There was safety in public, she reasoned. The cathedral was one of the greatest sites for pilgrims all across the galaxy to visit, and at any time there were tens of thousands of them living and waiting in the piety dorms that stretched for several miles around the shrine. It was easy to get lost there, and Venand needed to get lost very urgently. The shuttle rattled into life as gear teeth bit into the rack running the length of the track, lurching the carriage forwards. The clanking increased in speed as the motor accelerated to full capacity, yellow lamps springing into life ahead and behind as the shuttle passed into the tunnel mouth at the end of the platform. Leaning forward, Venand reached under the bench and used her ring transmitter to open the auto bolt on the reinforced locker beneath. She pulled open the front to reveal several guns and pistols. She selected a lightweight bolt pistol and loaded it, placing it in the pocket of her coat. As added protection, she pulled out a snub-nosed las pistol and tucked that inside her boot. Moving to the locker to her right, she repeated the action and retrieved several blind and concussion grenades. Another locker yielded up a shock maul that slipped nicely up her sleeve and a sheathed vibro knife that she tied to her waistband. As the shuttle clattered along in the gloom of its own lamps, Venand took stock once more. Rendenstein was still alive, she was sure of it, if only because her bodyguard and assistant was fitted with an internal pulse monitor that had not activated. She might be captured or hurt, but Rendenstein's heart was still beating. It was impossible to hear anything over the clattering of the rack and pinion engine of the carriage, but Venand could not shake the feeling that someone was following along the track behind her. She twisted on the bench and glared back. There was nothing in the twin cones of yellow projected by the rear lamps. In the darkness beyond, who could say? In the 14 tortuous minutes it took for the shuttle to clank and wheeze its way to the Cathedral of the Saviour Emperor, Venand formulated a plan. It was a very simple plan. She would lose herself amongst the human crush of the piety dorms. That was as far as it went. Survival was her only goal in the foreseeable future. Once that was assured, Venand could expend thought and energy on something loftier, like finding out who was trying to kill her and how she was going to respond. The implications of what Veritas had done horrified Venand, but she forced herself to think through the consequences. The Inquisition was meant to be a free-form, self-regulating organization. In fact, the term organization was misleading. The Inquisition was officially recognized by the Senatorum Imperialis and the rest of the Imperium, but other than that, it had no formally mandated structure, duties, or remit. In essence, there was no Inquisition as such, just Inquisitors. Each Inquisitor, a bearer of the Emperor's seal, was a power unto himself or herself. Nobody was quite sure who had appointed the first Inquisitors, or even if anyone had appointed them, and they had not simply assumed the role for themselves. Over 1,000 years later, it was still true that an Inquisitor was the only authority that could bestow the Emperor's seal to another. Not the High Lords, the entirety of the Adeptus Terra, nor the Mechanicus could grant such power to one man or woman. Necessity had required a certain amount of support and infrastructure, and ad hoc solutions had, over the centuries, gathered gravitas and traction to become quasi-formal institutions. The Inquisition as an entity had grown, as had the role of inquisitorial representative. Venant had read some of the earliest Senatorum reports, and it seemed that in those early decades, the inquisitorial representative had simply been whoever was on Terra and available at the time. That was when the Inquisition had been looking outward far more than inward. Resurgent alien threats, the risk of the rise of forces allied to the ruinous powers. It pained Venant to consider the notion that perhaps Veritas had been right on some level. Maybe the Inquisition had been tainted by association. The free-thinking, dynamic band of trusted investigators and agitators, judges and executioners, proselytizers and protectors, had become something far greater, yet also diminished. The Inquisition possessed resources far beyond what it could have claimed even a century earlier in terms of manpower, war gear and materiel. It had ships and soldiers, fortresses and libraries, communications nets, security protocols, sleeper cells, kill teams, relay posts, research stations, and an untold number of agents, operatives, spies, infiltrators, slaved servitors, pilots. "Damn," Venant said out loud, "that bastard Veritas is right." The whole point of the Emperor's Seal, the authority it represented, was to set the entire resources of the Imperium at the disposal of an Inquisitor. If he or she needed an army, the Imperial Guard was required to oblige. If an Inquisitor needed a ship, the Navy would provide. If someone was meant to be killed, there was the Officio Assassinorum. With a galaxy-spanning empire to draw upon, albeit fractured and impossible to govern, why did the Inquisition need these things for itself? The answer was simple. The Imperium was broken. The offices and organizations meant to rule and control the vast interstellar swathes of mankind were simply unfit for the purpose. In fact, no institution would ever fit. The size of the Imperium and its scattered worlds prevented anything like meaningful communication and governance. "Damn," Venant said again, as she realized the full extent of what Veritas intended. "He means to use the Senatorum as the Inquisition's puppet. He thinks the Inquisition should control the Imperium." A hiss of hydraulics and a gentle squeak of brakes brought Venant sharply back to the present. Veritas had to be stopped. But in due course, Venant reminded herself of concern number one, survival. The Inquisitorial Shuttle Bay was a concealed adjunct to a much larger transport station situated a few miles from the Cathedral of the Savior Emperor. Glow globes broke into dim life as the carriage coasted to a stop alongside a bare metal gantry of a platform. The carriage motors whined down to a low drone and then fell dormant. Venant activated the nav system once more, bringing the shuttle back to full life. She punched in the codes for Dock 3 of the Widdershins Tower, location of the Cerebrium. As the shuttle shunted forwards, Venant jumped clear to the gantry and watched the carriage rattle on up the track. She wasted no time, darting up a set of metal steps at the end of the platform, two at a time. She keyed in the combination of the lock cycle barring the door at the top and slipped out onto the main concourse of Savior Station. The drone of hundreds of people greeted her, and for the first time since setting foot in her chambers, Venant allowed herself to hope that she might actually live through the next hour.